Today's topic is love. Live in love, live in God. God has weaved love into this Sunday, and I am surprised by how he has done it. For the years that I have been in ministry, I have encountered this mystery often. I planned to follow a book, and the Lord planned how to take the book and when to start, when to finish. And there's beautiful breaks in between just so that love is here on Love Week. And that's just marvelous. So let's read John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 16a. In case you don't know, the Bible is Bible verses are breaking down, and so when half of the verse is broken to be part of a new paragraph, and the other half in the other paragraph, then we put the first half with the letter A, and the second half with the letter B. So that's how it reads. That's how scholars had broken up the verses. All right, let's read together. I'm going to read from my NIV, and it might be on the screen as well for those of you who don't have your phone or don't have your Bible with you. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Father, thank you for giving us your Son Jesus. He has demonstrated to us on the cross that you love us that much. And so we are compelled by your Spirit to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you give us a new birth through that faith. And through faith, we are made your children. Thank you. As we learn how to live in love, to live in you, to live by your word, Lord, we depend on your Spirit to lead us and guide us and empower us. So we call upon your Spirit to be with us today, to teach us this lovely text about love. Guide me and use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Live in love. God is love. He loves us and teaches us to love one another. And the way he teaches us how to love is by sending his Son and to show us how to live in love and to live in God. 2 weeks ago, the message was on love, to love one another like God has loved us. And God has given us compassion, which is the fear that other people will go into destruction. But God also give us hope that we can make a difference through Christ Jesus to bring them back to salvation. But last week, the message was on testing the spirits that are in the world. But today, the message is back on love again. Do you notice something? Why does the Holy Spirit insert the wandering spirit in the middle of a love message, like a splinter in your skin? There can be only one reason the wandering spirits want to disrupt the love of Christ in the church, to pollute the power of the gospel. Love between husband and wife is of no exception. If we look into every culture, the greatest desire of people in the world is for love. The majority of songs are written for love. Yet, our brokenness is defined as the lack of love. In other words, humanity seeks love, but it cannot find it. Why? Because God is love. Outside of God, there is no love. Man is outside of God. And the wandering spirit, evil spirits, want to keep man that way, to keep man outside of God. Humanity, humans like you and me, talked about love, but no one knows what love is. No one can demonstrate that love to another person. Every parent teach their children to love one another until death takes them away. But when the parents are gone, the children are at war with one another. We see that all around us and often enough. Every marriage begins with love, but the false spirits want to end it in divorce. The issues between husband and wife can be traced to human brokenness. Indeed, after the honeymoon period, couples are at war with one another. We don't know how to live in love with one another. Disagreement and strife are the norm in human culture. The teachings of man about love is like this: love those who love you and hate those who stay away from those who don't love you. But God teaches that we should love those who hurt us. We should pray for those who injure us. If the teaching of God's love makes way into the culture, society will be transformed. And we have seen many societies transform. Our Hmong culture is also being transformed by the love of God. If God's love makes way into your family, that love will transform your family. It will fill with the glow of God in your family. But Satan and these evil spirits are working to neutralize the Christian message, the gospel message, the message of love, so that people in the church don't practice love, don't practice what they preach. If the spirits achieve that goal, then the spirits have turned Christians away from God's love and back into human love. So knowing this, all of us should be alert. I observe that when one spouse falls into sin, the other spouse, rather than trying to rescue him or her back, we will give a kick to that spouse who's falling. It's just natural for us to do that, especially when your spouse had committed adultery. You know, if you imagine that your spouse is falling from the second story onto the floor and he's hurt, it is natural for you to go and take him and care for him. But if he falls spiritually into sin, we'll give a kick so that he go closer into hell rather than take him back. That is the nature of how human love is. And when you in that situation, only the Holy Spirit can speak to you and say, hey, you are practicing the enemy's kind of love. It's not the Father's kind of love. So we need to be intentional about love and engage fully with the power that can only sustain God's love in the midst of the church, in your family, in your home, in your marriage. Because God knows that you cannot do it with your strength, with your power. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we must attune to the Holy Spirit when we, husband and wife, encounter the situation in our lives. Live in love is live in God. Live in love is live in the Spirit of God. This love is God himself. But outside of God, there is no love. The second part of this message is rely on God's love. See, God's love is just not a word. God's love is just not a saying. God's love is power. See, God's love rescued the sinner back to have a relationship with God. God's love give life to dead people and give them eternal life. God's love has that power. And so for you and me to recognize the power of love is to recognize the power of God himself in a difficult situation in our lives. Last week we learned that our spiritual enemies manifest themselves in three ways: false prophecy, antichrist, and wandering. Since the spirits are here to disrupt the love of Christ in the church and in our family, we can go back to the history of the church and learn a bit how they come and interrupt into your love and into the love of the church. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to chapter 5, we'll read a little bit and get a sense of how the enemy come and destroy love in the church. And so you can see how that could happen in your family as well. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they share everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrections of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's foreknowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? What happened here? A couple, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, they were seeing love being spread in the church. And they want to love, just like other people love. But the enemy put two things into their heart. Number one, they want fame like Barnabas. Barnabas had given to the church, and the apostle acknowledged him and give him honor. And the honor that they gave him was that he was the son of encouragement. He encouraged a lot of people. Ananias wanted to be like Barnabas. Now, whenever you have that thought of I want to be like him, be very careful, because that might be what the enemy is putting in your heart for you to think about becoming like another person, to receive the same honor. Don't you remember the scripture said if you want something that belonged to them, that is a sin? You remember love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, saying that love doesn't envy, doesn't want what is belong to another. And so Ananias and his wife longing for an honor that they don't have. They want to give so that they receive the same honor, same acknowledgement, that people will find a name for them too. That is the first sin that it is so subtle, but it is put right there in their heart. And they fell for it. The second part was a lie. They want to give the money, but at the same time, they want to keep the money. You struggle with that. I struggle with that. And so to us as human, that was normal, a normal struggle. But here, it is the work of the enemy coming through. Make it so normal for you, so normal for Ananias and his wife. And so they fall into that. Well, let's keep part of it. Let's keep part of it. But when we present it to them, let's present that this is everything that we got from the cell. That is a lie. And so you can't lie to the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, because the Holy Spirit is there to help you. The Holy Spirit is to help you live this life in love, this life in God. And when you fall into lie, then you fall into sin. And so, problem come. Tragedies come. Death come as a consequence of that. So the Spirit of God built love within the church and among church members and within our family. And everyone pursued love. And the church grew. But when the enemy came and interrupted the flow of love in the church, it brings problem into the church, create something that is deadly within the church. Satan and the enemies want to infiltrate the church at every level. That's why everybody needs to test the spirits. Whether you are a leader of the church or a member of the church, we all are called test every spirit, every thought that we conceive of, every thought that come into our hearts, come into our mind, to make sure that the thought that we have about what we are to do is motivated by love, not motivated by pride or fame or honor or something else. We need to look into our hearts. This love that is in the church is not of human origins. It is not the love that your parents taught you. It's not the love that society taught you. It is the love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross that we are holding on to. That is the love that God is calling you to live in. In other words, why we use the same word, love, as the world uses it. The way we live out this love must be the same as Jesus had lived out for us. It is sacrificial love. We can discern the role of the wandering spirit in the story as we study here. But when we come to the Spirit will tell us that that is a lie. And so we can keep ourselves pure by listening to the Holy Spirit. We must rely on the power that sustains love within our home, within our church. So we can summarize this in the two parts. First, we must be truthful to ourselves and to others. Always evaluate our thoughts, whether the thought that we have about a particular giving or a particular project is born out of love or is that born out of our desire for fame or for honor. The second thing that we can evaluate this is ask the question, am I doing this because of love? Am I motivated to do this for love? Or is that for something else? Now let me apply this message to what we are doing here in eternal life. The church, the people of God, is God's love project. Following God, then, we are moving forward with a big love project of our own to buy a bigger sanctuary so that we can continue to expand the ministry of eternal life. Our vote to buy that bigger sanctuary is to serve children and future members of this church. That motivation to do it is not for us to be bigger, to be better, that we could say we are very unique, we are the only one that can do this. It's not that at all. It is for pure love for people to come to salvation. So let's put aside any pride that you may have, that, yeah, we are small, but we are strong. Sometimes I say that. Sometimes I heard people say that. That pride needs to be put down. We all must confess that we have that pride in ourselves. Yeah, we're small, but yeah, we're strong. We are giving more and we are able to do more. No, it's not us. It is God working through us. Let's confess that. Let's give that to God and not elevating ourselves, not puff up something about us. So let's first put that down because that is not what we are. God doesn't call us to honor ourselves in this way. Now, in this love project that we are pursuing, you will have many opportunities to put love at work. This is what we could do. Husband and wife, you too should sit down and plan to do something out of love for the church. Search in your hearts in prayer. Ask the Lord to speak to you about the amount that you can give and should give. Do it out of love. Remove any signs of fame. If the thought comes across your mind that we do this so that people will know that we give so much for this project, Kill that thought. Confess that thought to God. Commit that thought to God. And disown that thought right away. Because that is one that will kill you. And will kill this church too. And we don't want it. Okay, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit doesn't want it. If you feel that you can give a large sum, do so. But search your heart to make sure that you don't do it out of your need for fame or for people to say, oh, Mr. So-and-so gives so much. Well, thank to them. They are giving a great sum so that this project can be complete. Now, if that thought coming to you and that's the motivation for you to give, kill it. Tell God, that is exactly what you tell me not to have. And that is coming across my mind. So I don't want it. And so reject that thought and ask God to forgive you and to cut that thought out. Because the enemy is trying to pollute your thought with fame, just as in Ananias' case. Be very careful about that. Remove any sign of fame, okay? If the thought comes across your mind, share it with your spouse so that she knows it too, so she can pray for you. He knows it too, that he can pray for you and maintain you in love. Now, the opposite can also happen. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to give more and your heart are telling you to give a smaller amount, that is exactly what Ananias found in his second sin. And we would encounter this as we think about, as we pray for God to speak to us. And it happened more often than you think it is. The Holy Spirit will prompt you to give more based on faith, based on the blessing that God is giving you. But you are fighting with that. You say, no, I can't give that. That is too much. That is too much. No, you need to go to God with that. God, I feel that you are telling me to give this much. But my heart is battling this war. I'm battling you. My heart is telling me not to give that much because that is too much. Just like years ago when your battle was tied, the Spirit of God is telling you to obey and to give 10%, but you said, no, 10% is too much. I won't be able to pay this bill, that bill, the other bills, and so I want to take more for myself and less for God. You remember the battle when you're trying to tie. The same battle will take place here in this love project for God. Okay, so remember, don't fall into that. Take that to God and take that into prayer. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit between you and your wife. You two should pray together and pray separately. And allow a free conversation to take place between you, husband and wife. The wife should ask your husband, what is the Holy Spirit is prompting you to give? Let's say, for example, the Holy Spirit is prompting the husband to give $5,000. And the wife said, I hear the Holy Spirit is prompting me to give $2,500, half of what you give. Now, you both are one. You are not two individuals. So you take those two amounts. Lord, my wife feel the prompting of $2,500 and I feel the prompting of $5,000. Which one is it that you want us to do? And you should do this in peace. Do this in prayer so that the amount that you give is coming out of love and that you are together and that doesn't create a tension. Don't let the husband say, well, I'm the husband here, and I decide to give $5,000, and your wife should just obey, just listen. Don't do that. Because why? The enemy wants to create tension within your home so that the gift that you give to the church is not out of love, but it's out of tension, out of a problem. But don't do that. Don't allow that to come into your motivation to give for the church. I would also recommend that you sit down with your children and said, we are participating with a love project here, and invite your sons and daughters into this and said, what can we give as a family? What can you give? What can I give? What can you sacrifice for a child that will come into this church years down the road that we don't know? We don't see the face. We don't know, but God knows a child that is coming in, a daughter that is coming in, some families that is coming into the church. We don't know, but God knows who God is bringing in. Can we prepare something wonderful for them? You know, you can imagine that mommy is having a baby here and you don't see the baby yet, but the baby will come in time. How to prepare for that baby? What would you give to a baby sister, a baby brother? What would you prepare for? And ask your sons and daughters to participate in that love project. I think that would be a wonderful thing for your family to do together. You would also have the opportunity to invite other people to participate. I would encourage you to talk about this love project with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, and ask them to participate in this love project. Why do I call it a love project? Because it's not a personal benefit for you, is not a personal benefit for me. It is a benefit for God's people. Just like Jesus came to die for us, it did not benefit him to die on the cross for us. It is for our benefit. So that's why I call it a love project. But I think of it this way too, that like Jesus going to heaven and preparing room for us in the Father's house, so that when the time comes, we will have room to live and to be with God. This love project of we going into a bigger sanctuary is like that. We prepare, we're making room for other people to join us in the praise and worship of our God. It's not for your personal benefit, it's not for your pride, it's not for your glory, it is for God. And so it is a love project. Now, giving does not have to involve money. You can give time and effort. We will have many functions in this love project for you to sign up and be part of, be on a committee, to do work, to call people up, to do this and that, and to get involved in this love project for God. So don't be frightened that I'm talking too much about money. It's not all about money. It's all about love out of your heart to this project to get it done. So on this Valentine weekend, and we will continue this message next week too, prepare yourself for this big love project. And my part in preparing you to go into this is to make sure that you don't fall into sin as you're doing this. Don't fall into thinking that people will look at me and say, yeah, Christopher have done a great job in this. But we all should look at God and say, God has done a good job in me. And I'm just simply responding to that good job that the Lord has done in my life.